week's episode, Eastern alumnus Eric Sturgis has decided to run against Lisa Dish as a write-in candidate for city council in Ann Arbor's 1st Ward. Dr. Ashley Johnson Bravery writes a book about early immigration, and Ypsilanti City Council struggles to meet as Michigan's Supreme Court rules that Governor Whitmer's executive orders were unconstitutional. I'm your host, Liz Horniak, and this is the Eastern Echo Podcast. Alumnus Eric Sturgis has decided to run against Lisa Dish for city council in Ann Arbor's 1st Ward. Sturgis received his Bachelor's of Arts in History from Eastern with a minor in Political Science. He is currently pursuing a Master's of Science in Sports Management at Eastern. If elected, Sturgis plans to focus on affordable housing, the Gelman Plume consent judgment, and nonpartisan elections. The Gelman Plume consent judgment was proposed in August as a way to clean up the polluted groundwater. Gelman Sciences would dump the polluted groundwater into First Sisters Lake with some regulations. Sturgis instead wants to advocate for the Environment Protection Agency Superfund. The Superfund allows the EPA to clean contaminated sites and force the party responsible to either help clean or reimburse the government for the EPA-led effort. If elected, Sturgis also intends to look into requiring the Brewer lot located on 1680 Duer Varen Road. He sees the lot as a potential for affordable housing. He believes there is a great lack of affordable housing in Ann Arbor's 1st Ward, and sees City Council's settlement of the Barton Green development lawsuit as a missed opportunity to build affordable housing. Sturgis also disagrees with a primary system that decides who will be on the November ballot, and believes nonpartisan elections are the best way to hear the voices of those in the 1st Ward. Sturgis had this to say about the primary system.
The fact that we decide our city council person in August, where 3,000 to 4,000 people vote in a ward with 20,000 plus people in it, that just to me is not democracy.
Since Sturgis is a write-in candidate, to vote for him on November 3rd, voters must mark the ballot next to one of the blank spaces. To find out more information about Eric Sturgis, you can go to www.ericsturgis.com. Ypsilanti City Council struggles to figure out how they will meet after Michigan Supreme Court voted 4-3 to end Governor Whitmer's ability to extend her emergency powers without approval from Michigan's legislation. Ypsilanti City Council met on October 6th to discuss how they will continue to hold meetings. Ypsilanti City Attorney John Barr explained that if Ypsilanti City Council continues to meet virtually, they could be violating the Open Meetings Act. The Open Meetings Act was established in 1977 and requires that all public meetings be open to the public. Violators may be found guilty of a misdemeanor, and the Ypsilanti City Council could be charged a $500 fine. The next City Council meeting is October 20th, and the City Council is considering a hybrid meeting. A hybrid meeting would allow for a small live audience, and everyone else would be able to watch the meeting virtually. EMU history professor Dr. Ashley Johnson Bavery has written a new book called Bootlegged Aliens: Politics and Policy on America's Northern Border. Dr. Bavery said, quote, "I went to the National Archives and noticed that there were all of these entries for illegal immigrants coming across the northern border, particularly through Detroit. Detroit was the number one place for undocumented immigrants in the 1920s, so I thought I'd pursue that further," end quote. Her book tells the story of 20th century immigrants, many of whom came from Windsor, Canada, and came to America through Detroit. The book also delves into how this immigration of European immigrants has affected America's immigration policy. Dr. Bavery has been working on this book for 10 years. Her book was featured in the Journal of Urban History, Labor Le Travail, and the Reviews on American History. Dr. Bavery attributes her inspiration for this book to the National Archives in Washington, D.C. EMU's music ensembles have adapted amidst the coronavirus pandemic. Here's how. The jazz ensemble practices in 35-minute intervals with 20-minute breaks to air out the rehearsal space. During practice, students are required to be socially distant and wear masks, some of which have special openings to allow the instrument to be played. Professor Donald Babcock, who serves as the director of jazz ensemble, says he has seen some positives during these unusual times.
I would say the majority of students are coming to class prepared, and more so than they used to be, which is a neat surprise. I feel like when we're together in our limited time in our rehearsals, we're actually more productive because people are coming better prepared with the time that they're finding otherwise not being in class or commuting.
The Jazz Ensemble's first virtual concert is October 20th, and their second concert will also be virtual and will be on December 8th. For percussion students, only 4 students are allowed to practice for each piece. The percussion ensemble practices for 45 minutes, wears masks, and is socially distanced. Percussion students are also required to practice 2 hours a day outside of scheduled rehearsals. Percussion professor John Dorsey has been encouraging his students to follow safety guidelines both in and out of the classroom.
Because we're back meeting in person, it's not as radically different as many other classes are. I've been encouraging all of my students that I see to practice safe protocols and everything, not only here on campus, but off campus as well, so that they don't bring anything to campus and so that we can continue to do this. I think they know that we're fortunate to be meeting in person and that if any of them do anything stupid and they bring this on campus, you know, they can ruin it for everybody. And so I try to remind them of that on a regular basis.
The Percussion Ensemble's first concert will be live streamed from Pease Auditorium on December 1st. EMU's orchestra meets in 2 groups of 10 students. Each rehearsal for both groups is 40 minutes, and students are also required to wear masks and be socially distanced. Each group disinfects equipment after use and allows a 25-minute period to let the rehearsal space air out. For orchestra, a date for their first concert hasn't been announced, but will most likely be streamed through Vimeo. For information about EMU's music ensembles, you can go to the School of Music and Dance event page at www.emish.edu/music-dance/events/index.php. That's it for this week's episode. As always, thank you for listening. Thank you to reporters Will Phillips, Juliana Lumier, Cameron Eberle, and Gracie Thompson for their articles and work. Until next Monday, I'm your host, Liz Horniak, and this is the Eastern Echo Podcast.
The Eastern Echo Podcast is directed by Ronia Isabel Kobun-Sugg and produced by Lauren Smith. This episode was written by Jasmine Boyd.
This was an Eastern Echo Podcast.